welcome to Ken Queer, home of Canada's queer media. My name is Luke Smith, and today we are not joined by the incredible Sebastian Plant. He is in the Netherlands, currently having a vacation, which is very well deserved after quite a while. But I have someone here on the line who I am very excited to have a conversation with. I've had the pleasure of meeting Helen Kennedy, the executive director of EGAL Canada, on a few occasions, and I am thrilled that you are able to join us today. And are you there, Helen?
I am, Luke, and it's great to reconnect with you. It's been a while, too long, for sure.
Absolutely. I'm glad that we were able to make this conversation happen, and it's certainly an interesting. It seems like EGAL Canada has had a bit of a Tucker Carlson inspired roller coaster over the last little while. Why don't we, for our listeners' sake, actually start off with what is EGAL Canada, and you know, what is some of the work that you do? I'm obviously familiar with your work, but I think for the average listener, this might be a new organization to them.
Sure. EGAL is Canada's 2S LGBTQI human rights organization. We have been in existence in Canada now since 1986, predominantly in the initial stages of the organization's history. We were very much involved in litigation, but certainly post-marriage, we have diversified our work, and now we are very heavily engaged in research, education, awareness, and legal advocacy. So we do work here in Canada and also internationally.
Excellent. I mean, I've been incredibly proud of your work for many years. I believe, if my memory serves me correctly, you've done training with various police departments across the country and lots of incredible other educational work. So it comes as little surprise then that your advocacy extends to the CRTC, the Canadian Radio Telecommunications Commission, for those who are not familiar. I'm referring here to an open letter that you recently sent on April 4th to the Vicky Eatrides, the chairperson and CEO of the CRTC. She's actually brand new in her job. I don't know if you were aware of that. I think she's barely got the seat warm.
I know. Over there. That's very true. Yeah.
And this is a big deal. So what inspired you to send Chairperson Eatrides this open letter?
Well, we have seen an increase in anti-trans hatred and violence over the course of the last few months. It has always been there permeating under the surface, but certainly recently, in recent months, with various legislation that's now being introduced in the U.S., it's permeating into Canada and across the border. So we have been doing a lot of work around the anti-drag story time demonstrations. And in addition to that, we have written an open letter to municipalities and all levels of government to address this hatred that is cropping up across the country. Specifically, I believe there's over six jurisdictions across the country that have now cancelled drag story times in libraries and community centres. And so we wrote this open letter, and unbeknownst to us, it was part of a feature on Fox News. I believe it was March 28th. They highlighted this letter as part of another story, which was really, I think, malicious and misinformed, and labeling the trans community as violent and dangerous. And so that prompted us, and literally we didn't know that we were part of the Fox News piece until our social media channels and our phone and our emails were just absolutely swamped with hatred and some pretty nasty hate. And so that's what prompted us to have a look at the piece and then, you know, do some research and see what we could do in Canada from a Canadian perspective to respond in some way to hold Fox News accountable for this piece. And that's what prompted the letter to the CRTC.
Well, I think I'm going to just take a quick pause here, because I did sit and watch the piece by Tucker Carlson. And I'm going to start off with, it definitely included a some of the statement by a member of provincial parliament long time around the proposed NDP legislation. I think it's NDP legislation to create essentially these bubbles around drag events to kind of create safer environments. Now, last week on the show here at Canqueer, myself and Sebastian debated whether or not this legislative solution is the best solution to this specific problem. And I think that there is certainly going to be some conversation around that. You know, is this a round peg in a square hole, or is this the best solution? But the way that that was presented in the segment by Tucker Carlson made it sound like anyone who remotely disagrees are going to be rounded up by the RCMP on horseback and, you know, tossed in jail at a moment's notice. That was not the same takeaway that myself and Sebastian had last week. Far more aware of the fact that private members' bills don't always, if often at all, actually become law. So that segment where I think you were bundled in, really, I mean, to say stretched the truth or omitted key information would be an understatement. And I just want to zoom in on the open letter that got caught up by Tucker Carlson's here, and the recommendations that are so incendiary that have really raised the ire here. And they include, involve 2SLGBTQI and other community organizations in the implementation strategy for the LGBTQ action plan. Now, if that isn't the most outrageous statement I have ever read, I don't know what is. And I think I bring that up in a bit of a satirical fashion here to indicate that your letter, your open letter, really is just guidance. It's community engagement. It's, you know, it's really basic things that municipalities and the federal government can use as where do we go next sort of roadmap. It seems like this certainly came as a surprise that such an innocuous open letter caused such a backlash. How did you react when your phone lines and emails blew up over this?
Well, I mean, you're right. I think that our letter was very tempered in terms of our request to various levels of government to do something about this. We asked that existing municipal bylaws for right of passage on sidewalks be upheld, because currently when demonstrations are taking place against drag story time, the sidewalks are often blocked into public facilities. And so, you know, we know that municipalities already have legislation in place, and it's just a matter of enforcing existing laws to allow people access freely without being harassed. And so we didn't think that there was anything outrageous about that. And I guess, you know, from Tucker Carlson's perspective, the issue, and I don't want to conflate drag with trans, they're two very, very different conversations.
Yeah.
But this is one of the things that has sparked the response from Fox News. And our subsequent letter to the CRTC is basically calling the CRTC's attention to this, what we believe to be violent rhetoric against trans people and inciting violence against trans people, and to hold them accountable and to take them off the airwaves in Canada. Currently in Canada, Fox News is packaged with other stations. And so it's not like you're kicking the package, or maybe some people are, I don't know, just for Fox News. So you're in many instances, you're stuck with Fox News as part of the whole package that you're getting as part of your cable network. And so what we're saying is, you know, CRTC, you need to have a look at this. We need to have public consultations around the rhetoric and the kind of rhetoric that we allow in this country. And Fox News needs to be held accountable and to the same standard and responsibilities as Canadian broadcasters. And this is what we feel is not okay.
Yeah, I think that that's what really piqued my interest with this particular story that came to our attention. You know, these packages, they are selling Canadian advertising in between these segments for a Canadian audience, generating Canadian revenue for the large television broadcasters that are packaging this show in. So, you know, there's Canadian dollars, Canadian money being spent and put into this. And likewise, I think there is an expectation that the material being put out complies with the Broadcasting Act and the radio regulations and the broadcasting regulations as they pertain. You know, here at CIUT, we are subject to broadcasting at a high standard. We cannot broadcast content that disparages people based on protected grounds under the Canadian Human Rights Code, which includes gender identity and gender expression. I'm sure you recall, I think it was Bill C-18 that enshrined that in law. Wow, well, that must have been like 4 or 5 years ago now.
That's right. Yeah.
Adding gender identity and gender expression. So what jumps out at me here is this letter seems to serve as a reminder that in Canada, Fox News and these segments need to play by Canadian rules.
Yes, for sure. I mean, we can't have one standard for Canadian broadcasters and a completely, a completely different standard or no standard at all for international broadcasters, and especially when the viewer is not given the choice. So we feel that it's really incumbent upon the CRTC to have a look at the licensing standards. And if, you know, even if they want to continue to allow Fox to broadcast in Canada, well, then take them out of the package and let people sign up separately. If they want to only see Fox News, well, pay a separate fee and just see Fox News. But why should other folks who don't want to ever watch Fox News be subjected to it and have to indirectly pay for it as part of their package?
Mm-hmm. Now, you point to a very specific section of the broadcast regulations here, and I'm just going to... our regular listeners know I like to read things extensively, which might not be the most exciting thing, but here we go. You quote Regulations 5B under the broadcast television broadcast regulations, and I'll read it here. Any abusive comment or abusive pictorial representation that, when taken in context, tends to or is likely to expose an individual or a group or a class of individuals to hatred or contempt on the base of race, national or ethnic origin, color, religion, sex, sexual orientation, age, mental or physical disability. Now, from what you've told me earlier, I believe that you would be an individual or a group that has certainly, been exposed to hatred and contempt on the basis of sex here. Do you think the CRTC is going to take this seriously?
I should hope so. Absolutely. We know that they're lagging in behind other federal laws in that it's especially the Canadian Human Rights Act, in that they haven't explicitly said gender identity and gender expression. However, they're a federal tribunal, and they would, of course, have to consider gender identity and gender expression to be protected under this section of the Television Broadcasting Act. And regardless of whether or not it's explicitly named, I don't think there's a debate here as to whether or not gender identity and gender expression are included. We know it's included. The CRTC knows it's included. And I think that they're just lagging behind in updating their public standards.
No, absolutely. I think you've hit the nail on the head. The Broadcasting Act, I think, was late 80s when it was last updated. And then the regulations are not quite as old as the 80s, but they're certainly decades old. But, you know, you're spot on that this understanding is very much read in. I think what is perhaps concerning, and I know that Tucker Carlson is doing a special on Canada that's being released, I think, this week at some point. And, of course, I'm sure you're aware of the backlash that was fomented against Faye Johnson's participation in the Hershey Canada's Women's Day chocolate bar release. Mm-hmm. Are you concerned, from a Canadian perspective, at the ire of some of these rather extreme individuals, not saying Tucker Carlson is extreme, but those who are calling in bomb threats following his segments certainly count as extreme. Are you concerned that the ire and the attention on Canada and our generally far more progressive legal structure could have impacts on LGBT rights here in Canada?
Absolutely. We've already seen, and you know, we've known over the course of the years that even though the hatred and the incitement of violence in Canada is not as overt as it has become in the U.S., we know that there's an undercurrent, and we see it regularly. We know that there's been a 64% increase in hate-reported incidents, police-reported incidents against the LGBTI community in the last 2 years. That's a significant increase, and that's here in Canada. So whether or not that's because of U.S. influence, who knows? But I certainly feel that with the number, the increase in legislative bills and rhetoric in the U.S., it is filtering across the border. But we're not immune ourselves as a society to this type of rhetoric. And we can't always point to other jurisdictions and say, oh, it's because of X. No, it's because of a lack of education in our own country. We have to take responsibility for our own society and the response of our own people to these issues. And I firmly believe that the education system in Canada is sadly lacking when it comes to LGBTI people being included in the curriculum, talking about families, talking about gender, talking about non-binary people, looking through history and looking at our education system through an intersectional lens. And unfortunately, we don't have the political will in many jurisdictions across the country to take a serious look at our curriculum to be more inclusive. And I think once we start doing that, we will start to see a shift in the culture. But certainly, I think, you know, as Canadians, we're not immune to racism, sexism, hatred, anti-trans violence. And I don't always like to point fingers at other jurisdictions and say it's because of you that this is why it's happening in Canada. But we need to take responsibility for our own lack of engagement in these conversations.
No, absolutely. I mean, we've spoken, we spoke last week actually of the, I think it was 200 or 300 people who showed up at the Ottawa Carlton District School Board's meeting, which ostensibly was to talk about, I think, their budget, and ended up talking about access to washrooms in schools. Knowing, of course, that Ontario, under the Ontario Human Rights Code, access for students on how they identify is already in place. It seems like there is a disconnect between where case law and legislation and the protections enshrined are in Canada and people's perceptions of that. I think the Ottawa Carlton District School Board's case really highlights that. There's sort of fundamental misunderstanding that people think that we are maybe in the same legal framework as our American counterparts. Do you find that that's a struggle to kind of remind folks or raise that educational point as to the protections that are in place in Canada?
Well, I would say that people don't really know what is a protected ground and what isn't. And it's not really until you need it that you understand it. It's not something that's taught as part of the curriculum. Not everybody has access to pursue legal route, for example, if they are being discriminated against, because it's expensive emotionally and financially. And so it's really, there's a lack of understanding and knowledge, general knowledge around your legal rights. And I think that we could do a better job of educating everybody on issues around, like, people just don't pay attention until they need it.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not saying maybe that's a good thing, maybe it's a bad thing, but people get on with their daily lives. And it isn't until something like this pops up that that folks start to pay a little more attention. I mean, you just have to look at the turnout in municipal elections to know the amount of apathy that that people have when it comes to local politics. And a lot of these, especially in school boards, a lot of these decisions are made by school trustees. And sometimes they're made, well, a lot of times they're made for political reasons and political opportunism, as opposed to doing the right thing.
Yeah, it's definitely a bottom of the ballot question here, and I think we've seen trends of, well, in the States, there's been trends of bottom ballots picking up a bit more attention than they did in the past. I want to pick up on something you said, because I don't want this subtlety to get lost, and I know that your letter to the CRTC has probably already been picked up by other media, but one of the things that you noted earlier, and I want to kind of come back to it, is you're not necessarily calling for the CRTC to ban or drop Fox News here in Canada, but rather accountability and the ability to opt out of it in a package. Is that correct?
Well, it's a little bit of both. I think that they need to be held responsible and accountable for what they purport to be news. And are they, in fact, a news channel? Well, if they are a news channel, then they should be more objective and they should be adhering to the same broadcasting standards as our Canadian broadcasters are held. And so ultimately, based on what they have said as part of their March piece, I would ask the CRT to look and make a ruling. Is this, in fact, something that we want to continue to hear on the airwaves in Canada? Should they be pulled? This is a decision that the CRT is going to have to make. Have they crossed the threshold? Are they inciting violence? Are they encouraging people to incite violence against trans folk?
Mm-hmm.
We believe that the piece crosses the line, and we believe that, in fact, they are. And, you know, the rhetoric in the piece would indicate to us that they are hoping to basically maliciously malign trans folk. And that's, to us, is not okay. So if the CRT decides to pull Fox News from Canadian airwaves, you would not get a complaint from me.
Well, I think it's worth noting that under the Broadcasting Act, it is illegal to broadcast false news. So that is... That is very much in there. For example, Cancrio, the show that we are right now, is not a news show, but rather a current affairs commentary show. And we make that distinction specifically because we don't break news per se. We generally provide context and comment on it. So there is definitely space for differing opinions, for different perspectives, but I think it's important that they are signposted so that people are aware and don't go into it with misconceptions. I personally have no love lost for News International and the Fox brand, particularly after growing up in Britain and the Levinson inquiry with Judge Levinson's investigation into the phone hacking scandal and a multitude of other law-breaking done by News International's papers there in the UK. It's the same Murdoch-owned company that owns Fox News in the United States. So they're abiding by the law... a track record internationally is maybe not the best it could be for a news organization, but we'll see. I don't know. I will keep an eye and see how the CRTC responds to your letter. Before we let you go, because I think I would like to kind of get your perspective on this. And maybe share with us why you feel this is the best approach. And this is going back to your first open letter that you put out on the 28th, the one that seems to have caused a bit of a kerfuffle, as they say. And that I'm specifically looking at your recommendation to municipal governments using the authority to pass bylaws. 2A, I don't know if you have it handy, and I'll just read it out here. Enact a buffer zone for anti-2S LGBTQI protests that keep them at least 100 metres away from 2S LGBTQI community spaces and events. Why do you feel that a drag story time or a drag show requires a 100 metre buffer?
Sorry, did you say why do I feel that? Yeah. Well, I think it's become very obvious based on some of the drag show story times that have tried to run in various jurisdictions across the country in the last 4 or 5 months that they're not safe spaces anymore, and that parents can no longer safely bring their children into a venue for some entertainment without being harassed and yelled at. Also, people who are opposed to the drag story time are actually in the space yelling and screaming and just generally making the space really unsafe. And so, no one is saying that you don't have the right to protest. You have the right to protest, but do it in a way that is not going to make people feel unsafe. And I think that the buffer zone is a really good way of addressing that. Sure, protest, but you have to be a certain distance from the space so people who want to attend can do so and feel safe doing so, especially when they're bringing their children for an afternoon or an evening or a morning of entertainment.
Mm-hmm. You know, it makes me think of when I worked for the Oro Police as the LGBTQ liaison. And one of the things that came up whilst I was in that role, civilian role, it was that there was a drag event and somebody went in, disrupted it, and the police didn't necessarily have the guidance to know whether or not they could evict somebody from inside an event who was causing a disruption. It was that lack of clarity that really caused an issue as well. Do you think that some of these measures would, at the very least, give the police and enforcement agencies a bit of a guardrails that they can more clearly see?
Well, I mean, any of these legislative... anything that needs to be enforced or adhered to. It's the same with the municipal right-of-way on the sidewalks. If the bylaw officers don't know that this exists, they don't know to enforce it. I would expect that folks in these positions would know what their job responsibilities are, and I would expect the same of police enforcement. They should know, there should be clarity, there should be clear lines of communication between the various jurisdictions and the cities that oversee police services. And I would think that it would be a pretty sad state of affairs if the police don't know what they're supposed to enforce and how they're supposed to enforce it. So, but it is, about communicating and letting the police services know that there is a particular law here and you need to enforce it and you need to extract these folks who are basically threatening, and anyone, I don't care what the law says, anyone who's threatening another person, I would anticipate that the police would respond to that.
Mm-hmm. I think that that speaks to a point that Sebastian made before, is that, a lot of, in particular, we were discussing the proposed Ontario law, a lot of these things are